Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer, a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we do on this podcast. We talk about ideas, I share stories, I find examples from really cool teachers that I've seen as well. And then also my mistakes, because I think there's a lot you could learn from those. And trust me, I made lots of mistakes on my journey toward things like project-based learning and design thinking. And so today we're going to find as our source of inspiration something a little bit different: food trucks. And we're going to answer this question: what can food trucks teach us about project-based learning? So here we go. When we think about innovative companies, it's easy to imagine that open-air tech startup with ping-pong tables and free drinks and huge windows and chairs so modern you're not sure if you're supposed to look at them or sit in them. And sometimes when I look at those spaces, I think, man, I wish schools were more like that. But they're not. Schools don't have millions of dollars in startup money flowing into a group of passionate workers. It just doesn't work that way. And while those companies often look amazing on the surface, the truth is a lot of those startups, they go bankrupt after the first 3 to 5 years. Meanwhile, some of the most innovative ideas are actually happening in a much more humble environment. In greasy, tiny kitchens parked by the side of busy streets. If you want to find innovation, look no further than your local food truck. That's right, food trucks. And I'm in the Pacific Northwest, right? We have Portland, which is like the king of all food truck cities, although I think Austin might argue with us about that. See, food trucks continue to redefine the way we view food through a fusion of flavors that are unabashedly different, and that makes them awesome. Unlike the massive tech startup world, food trucks are often nimble, they're small, they're focused on a very distinct mission. And I would argue that that is what we need in project-based learning. It has me thinking about how this food truck approach or food truck mindset might look as teachers are implementing PBL. So I want to start first, though, with some of the myths that we have about project-based learning. See, when I was in the eighth grade, I had this epic History Day project, and I've mentioned it in a past podcast. I owned the entire process, which means I conducted interviews, I did research, I crafted a script, and ultimately put together a multimedia presentation. I'd always been great before that at plain school. I was good at it. I knew how to follow the rules and be compliant and all of that. But this was different. This was disruptive in a really positive way. I was, for the first time ever, really engaged in critical thinking and creativity. I learned project management. And although I didn't realize it at the time, that particular experience is why I became a middle school teacher. And yet, when I first began as a teacher, I didn't embrace PBL. Don't get me wrong, my students did complete projects, but these were culminating projects that we would get to if we had time. I would choose the end product and reverse engineer it backwards and give them step-by-step detailed instructions. And the whole thing is, I thought I was helping them. That was my whole goal. But these weren't projects. They were recipes. The truth is, I was afraid. I had bought into these 7 big lies about PBL. I have a whole blog post on that. And I had assumed that students wouldn't pass the test, and I thought I would be reprimanded when they didn't do well enough. I mean, I was really, really scared. I was worried about the classroom management. I was worried that we didn't have the best high-tech gadgetry and therefore we couldn't pull off what I wanted to do, and we didn't have enough time, and the curriculum map was super tight and I had to teach certain things on certain days, and so on and so forth. But eventually I realized that these weren't external barriers. This was more of a failure of imagination. The problem wasn't external. But then I had this food truck moment. I took the most low-risk week of the year. It was the testing week. And I decided to pilot a project. It was a documentary project. We went small. We went really small. Students interviewed immigrants in our community, and they put together this documentary called Voices of the Immigrants. And after that week was up, I thought we would be finished, but we weren't. Students continued to come in before school and after school and at lunchtime to edit their videos. They were hooked. And the truth is, so was I. It was the start of a bigger journey that ultimately led to a full embrace of the PBL process. But it didn't start out that way. It started out humbly with a small project on a wasted week of school. In other words, it was like a food truck. We had limited options, limited technology, and limited time. We didn't have a green screen or a multimedia studio. Instead, kids had to film their videos on their cell phones at a time when cell phones weren't that great in filming videos. We shared our work early and revised on the fly, often sharing segments in smaller multimedia pockets and packages in blogs that we created. We brought the learning out into the community instead of expecting the community to come to us. In other words, we were food trucking it the entire time. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and explore what exactly food trucks can teach us about PBL. So it's easy in project-based learning to get fixated on the stuff, right? You check out the school where the entire approach is PBL. Visit a makerspace or a fab lab or a multimedia studio and see how they have redesigned this space to maximize the projects, right? And it feels inspiring, except sometimes you don't have that kind of stuff, right? While there's nothing wrong with these examples, we often have to work within tighter constraints. And this is where we could learn a thing or two from food trucks. See, food trucks are nimble, creative, and deeply connected to the community. All things we need in order to engage in authentic PBL. So with that in mind, here are specific things we could learn from food trucks. Number one, start with empathy. Food trucks begin with a place of empathy. The best chefs are developing new recipes because they know their customers. They've built a relationship with people, and they have this kind of tribe of loyal fans who would do anything to get that food. Now, this doesn't mean that they create exactly what their customers are asking for, nor does it mean that they start out with a specific survey and analyze the data to get them exactly what they want. No, no, no. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it's more like just something you feel your way around. It happens through conversations. And often they will create recipes that surprise people. But the focus, the starting place, is this deeply human connection that they have with their customers. Now, the same is true of authentic PBL. This is one of the reasons I love design thinking. Students begin with a problem or a natural phenomenon, a scenario, even a product idea. But somewhere in that first look, listen, and learn phase, they begin to build empathy with their audience, and the end result is something more powerful and meaningful both for the audience and for the students. I remember encouraging empathy in a design-oriented project. We were trying to tackle the problem of graffiti in our school. Now, one group wanted to create a wall that would spray paint you back every time you tried to tag it up, and that was not going to work. I'm pretty sure that would have been illegal if we had done it. Another group focused on better security cameras and having a neighborhood watch party, but again, we already had a block watch and it wasn't stopping the graffiti. But there was one group that began in a really unlikely place, building empathy with graffiti artists. Now, this group had a unique idea after really focusing on that empathy. What if we painted murals? See, they knew that often if you painted art, graffiti artists or vandals, depending on how you view them, they'll actually leave the murals alone. And this felt really, really risky when we did this. But in the end, it worked. For the next 3 years, we ended up painting tons of murals all over the school. And it was so cool to watch. But it began with empathy. All right, number two is closely related. It's the idea that you should focus on the community. One of my all-time favorite food trucks was this barbecue place I had in Austin, Texas. I wish I could remember the name. I know there are a million different barbecue trucks in Austin, and I will probably never find that one again. But there was something powerful about the vibe created by having a restaurant right there in the middle of the community. Unlike a traditional restaurant, this food truck created a vibrant atmosphere that was part of the larger community. And this is why I love when symphonies do flash mobs or when artists share their work with the immediate community rather than just always having it in a museum. I think it's really cool when there is unexpected beauty inside of our world. And I think the same is true of student projects. My favorite student projects are the ones that connect with the community. My friend Trevor Muir did this epic World War II documentary project. His students went to nursing homes and veterans homes to interview former soldiers who had fought in World War II. They continued to connect with the community in their final launch, where they were able to call around to every single movie theater in Grand Rapids until they got a place that would donate a screen for them to show their movie in. In other words, they approached this whole thing with a food truck mindset. They focused on how they could go out into the community rather than expecting the community to just support the work that they were doing. They viewed community partners as actual partners that they could learn from. And I think that's a critical piece. This food truck approach to PBL has to include a connection to the community. Number three, learn from launching. Food trucks often allow a chef to continue to improve on his or her craft by learning through making. You figure out what works by sending it to a real audience and then changing and adjusting as a result. Part of why food trucks can experiment so well is that they are moving through this design cycle faster than a typical restaurant. They're able to test things out on a real audience day by day to see if it works. And schools can easily get bogged down by this process of meeting about meetings and planning about planning and talking about projects, but never actually sending them anywhere. But if you take this ship earlier approach, you can test things, modify them, and create a new iteration faster. Now, too often as a teacher, I created these larger, elaborate projects for students, but they never went anywhere. We didn't do a launch. We never launched to an authentic audience. And that was frustrating in those times where it essentially never left the walls of our own classroom. But on those times when we did share our work with an authentic audience, students were more engaged and worked harder. And this is one of the reasons we included the launch part in the launch cycle. We wanted this whole idea of students specifically launching to an audience. I think when there's a good launch, when they're thinking about who their audience is, they work harder, they care more, they're more engaged, and it's honestly more authentic for them. All right, so number four is to pivot like crazy. And we've kind of hinted at this one a little bit already, but because food trucks are smaller and they have less financial risk, they're able to stay lean. And this means that they can modify and adjust, they can move around. And I think this was a hard lesson for me as a teacher. I struggled with the idea that projects are iterative and sometimes you have to pivot. You have to abandon an idea that's just not working. And I remember getting frustrated when we completely modified a project after 2 days and it felt like it was a waste of time. You know, you attempt something and you can take it hard when you have to modify and adjust. It feels frustrating that it's so messy and you want it to just work, right? But in the end, you're able to figure out what works through this process of pivoting. And I think when that happens, you're actually modifying flexible thinking, and your students are able to engage in that same type of iterative thinking as well. And this type of flexible thinking is vital for students. See, someday they're going to work in this unpredictable global economy, and they're going to need to be nimble. When they create real projects in the real world, they will run into challenges, and they'll just need to figure out how to solve it. One of my favorite examples of this on the student level came a few weeks ago. I was at this really cool school called St. John's Ravenscourt, and it was in Winnipeg. It was freezing cold, by the way, if you're ever wondering, Canada's cold. But it was so cool to watch them through the prototyping phase. I watched one group in particular, and they were getting really frustrated, and they were struggling to find a solution. And I remember thinking, maybe this isn't working, right? Like, maybe this was a bad idea. Maybe they're not into it. I mean, all of these things that made me feel in that moment insecure. But then minutes later, they were cheering and giving high fives because they had solved this problem. And to me, that's what it's all about. When they really embrace that iterative mindset, when they really see that there's value in revising and improving and in pivoting. All right, so number five is to embrace creative constraint. Some of the best food trucks embrace this idea of creative constraints. Maybe they use only local ingredients, or because of their size, they have to limit the number of items on their menu. They don't have the same equipment that a big restaurant has. And in some cases, they'll even take this constraint to the next level with like this chopped-like approach, where people will give them specific ingredients and they have to work with it to design something new. Now, in the process, they actually create something far more creative. It's quirky and it's weird and it's probably for a smaller audience, but that turns out to be the exact thing you need to reach a massive audience. Some of the best restaurants I've seen began as food trucks, and they really began with this place of creative constraint. They grew slowly, spending months or even years in this incubation period because they were able to take creative risks and they were able to work within creative constraints. The same is true with PBL. Limitations can be frustrating. I get it. You're stuck with a tight curriculum map and you really just want the freedom to create a project with a blank canvas. There's a time constraint and a lack of resources, but every single roadblock is a chance to innovate. I remember wanting to do blogging projects with my students. I'd been doing really cool blogging projects, and this was a slam dunk, right? But then I had this 4-hour ELD block, this thing because my students were ELL, and I had to teach a full hour of grammar. Now, that does not sound engaging, it doesn't sound fun, and it was not something I wanted to do. But I eventually realized that I could incorporate the verb tense studies into our blogs. And I realized that I could treat the grammar structures as a design feature rather than a barrier. Instead of trying to work around it, I would incorporate it into choice-based student blog projects. And in the end, students mastered their grammar while also doing these really cool geek out blogs. In other words, we were food trucking it. All right, so final one is number six, be unabashedly geeky about your craft. So food truck owners tend to be unabashedly geeky, almost to this point of snobbery about great cuisine. And this devotion to craft is the difference between viewing food as fuel or food as art. The same thing is true of PBL. This is a chance to geek out on your craft and geek out on learning. Share your passion for what students are learning and create an environment where students are excited about each little discovery they're making and each product they're designing. One of the first things I notice about quality PBL classrooms is that students have embraced this idea that it's okay to be geeky. It's more than that, though. I mean, they've embraced the idea that it's fun to geek out on creativity and learning. Not just that it's okay, but that it's somehow normal. They're pushing back on the narrative that school is boring or irrelevant, or that learning is just uncool. And they're not asking questions like, how will I use this, or will this be on the test? Because they're too excited about problem solving and designing products and things like that. This is one of the reasons I love Genius Hour, by the way. It's a chance for them to share their passions and interests and hidden knowledge in a way that still connects to the standards. So, final thought is this. I would encourage you to find the food trucks. Innovation is happening all over the place. Teachers are experimenting with the new ideas, they're embracing PBL and design thinking, and in the process, they're empowering their students to own the learning. In other words, they are creating their own food trucks and serving up something a million times better than fast food, factory fare, or whatever it is that they're gonna get, you know, packets and worksheets and all that kind of stuff, right? So find those food carts, those food trucks, those chefs, and get to know them. Create your own communities. Partner up with like-minded creative risk takers at your own school and start a food truck movement and take it to the next level. All right, thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening, and go out and make something awesome.